Accession number 21398, Rule 1.
George Moody, Rule 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born in Hull.
Which year was this?
1930.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Hull?
Yes, I've lived and born and lived in Hull all my life.
Which school did you go to?
I started off at Charterhouse Lane.
And then?
And then, Flinton Grove, until I was 11, and then we went to Maybury Road.
How old were you when you finished school?
13 year, 10 month.
So that must have been in 43 then?
Whatever, I'm not sure about that.
Have you got any memories of the Second World War?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
What type of things can you remember?
It was machine gun off here. I'm tell you? I went on the river. You know what I mean? On Trent Navigation Company, going from Hull to Nottingham. And we used to go away, take cheese, tobacco, flour, whatever. And was coming back down on a tug called the Frank Rayner. And it was about 10:30 at night. I forget the month. And we were between Brough and Hesel. You know what I mean, don't you? And there was an air raid on. And the searchlights was all up. And as we were coming down, this German plane, machine gun, we was coming down the river to Hull, a tug, and we had five on. It had five river craft in twos. There was a tug in front, two alongside behind him, two alongside behind them, and one in between at the back. Do you get me? And we got machine gun only for about a minute or so, because I think they was going back home. And you know, that's just one episode.
Were you hit?
There was a couple of bullet holes in the. That's about. In not our. We didn't get hit. Our boat. There was a couple of bullet holes, I think, in one of them. And that's about. That's one. And another little story was coming down from Nottingham. And was coming down on a tug called the Tees. And there was an air raid on there. And it was high water when we come at Gainsborough. This was. As we came through Gainsborough Railway, which has a central arch like that, and it's very low at high water. Well, the tug was the Tees, and it was a Petter engine. What threw you? Chung, 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 a Dutch engine. And as the exhaust hit the bridge, it bounced back down the funnel, and the exhaust then caught fire. So by the time we cleared the bridge, the Tees were throwing sheets of rings of flame up 30, 40 feet in the air. And there's an air raid on in Gainsborough at the time, so you can imagine. There was people screaming, people shouting and such. And what they had to do, they had to stop the engine, shut it down altogether. And we just drifted for about 100 to a couple of 200, 300 yards, you know, with the way we had on. And then they had to start it up again. So to condense the flames. That was two little incidents during the war.
Was Gainsborough bombed very much in the war?
I don't know. I can't tell you that, sir.
Do you remember any bombing actually in Hull?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
What do you remember of that?
Well, we lived down Hompton Grove on Preston Road at the time. Do you
Which
know
Grove?
Hompton, H-O-L-M-P-T-O-N. And every night during the raids, there was quite a bit of bombing on Preston Road. The one night there was an unexploded bomb in a place called Ellerby Grove. And then there was another one on Preston Road where the bomb exploded in the grove on Preston Road, but the blast, instead of going outwards, went straight up. there was a massive crater, maybe 30, 40 feet across, and there was hardly a window broken, because the blast went straight up instead of spreading.
Was the bombing in Hull frightening?
Certainly was. We remember that vividly, because we used to be in the shelter, of course.
What kind of a shelter did you have?
The brick one, the square one, not the Anderson. A brick shelter.
What was public morale like in Hull during the bombing?
Well, I would say same as anywhere else. You accepted it, didn't you? What else could you do?
Did it make people want to give in?
I don't think so, do you? I don't think so. No, definitely not.
What was the attitude towards the Germans in the war?
I don't know how to answer that. What do you say? Kill them. Oh, what? I don't know what to answer.
When you were doing this job on the Humber, was it always in tugs that you were sailing?
Yes. They were their own tugs. It was Trent Navigation Company's own tugs. They had six. And sometimes you'd maybe have one on the tug. You and one tug go to Nottingham. Another time, it could have six on. And that each craft, say, carried an average, of say for an average, of 100 tonnes of cargo. The craft would carry 130 tonnes, the Trent Company craft. But you generally went up with about, on the average, about 100 tonnes, 105.
What?
Unless you were carrying something light, like tobacco or something like that, where you maybe only get 20 tonne aboard because it was in great big reels.
What was your job in the tug?
I wasn't in the tug, I was on the craft on the actual barges. I was a mate on a barge. And the skipper came from Barton-on-Humber, just across the river.
Did you see any bombing of Nottingham?
There was bombing in Nottingham, but we used to only be there maybe 2 or 3 days at the most, because we used to go there, unload, and then come back down to Hull to load up again in the docks. Generally stop at Newark, either going up or coming down.
Any memories of celebrations at the end of the war?
Now then, at the end of the war, when it was announced, I was in a place called Barrowhaven, you know where it is, across the river, and was getting a bilge plate put on the barge, because it was one of the bilge plates was leaking. And we was at a little private shipyard at Barrowhaven getting this bilge plate on, when they said that the war was over, sort of, or whatever. Well, we had a cog boat, and I sculled across the Hull on the night, sculled from yon side of the river to this side, and tied it up in harbour, Old River Hull, as you know. And went home there from then. That was my celebration.
What's a cog boat?
It was a little boat what a barge tows with it on about 6 feet long, 6 or 7 feet long, and you scull it with you scull like that with an oar in the stern, what they call a rollock.
Weaving it from side to side.
You make a figure of eight like that. You twist the blade, and it throws the water away like a propeller then.
So how did you come to be in the Navy yourself?
Well, I volunteered. I was on Trent Company, and a couple of my mates had joined up. And you know you are when you're young. I thought, well, I'll have a go. So I went to the recruiting office and volunteered. And then when I got, then about 6 weeks later, my papers come through to say that I had to go. But I had first to go to Manchester for a medical.
Which year was this?
1947.
How did the medical go?
As medicals do. And then we came back home. And then I got a fan, then I got the further papers through to say, report to Tow, HMS Tow Point, which is at Plymouth, for training. So that's where we did our training, Tow Point.
What were your conditions of service that you signed on for?
7 years and five, reserve.
What was your training like at Tow Point?
First off, not being used to it, not very nice. But as it went on, you grew into it and in the end enjoyed it.
What type of things were you used to?
Well, your kit. Where the medics would do your kit. And, you know, the petty officers, there was little tin gods, weren't they? But remember, you'd gone from civilian life where you did as you liked, especially on the barge, where you was your own gaffer. I went into somewhere where you had been told what to do, when to do it. But quite enjoyable in the end.
Were the petty officers reasonable or unreasonable?
For 3 weeks, very unreasonable. But the last 3 weeks, quite reasonable. And the last week, they were just brilliant.
In what way were they unreasonable at first?
Well, all raw recruits, I think there was 32 of us, never been in the Navy, never done any, it was told, and, well, you know what I mean, like the Carry On films.
How did you cope with discipline yourself?
I accepted it. I went in with the right attitude.
Did you get punished?
Not on training, no. Well, we did a couple of times, a couple of the lads was a bit slow going over the assault courses. So we all had to redo it because of them. If you want to call that punishment.
What was the next step after Tow Point?
After Tow Point, I went to Chatham Barracks, HMS Pembroke. That is the actual Chatham Barracks. And I was only there 8 days, and I got sent to the Howe, which is the training squadron. It was based at Portland. There was the Vanguard there, the battleship Vanguard. There was the Howe, the Victorious, an aircraft carrier. They were the three main ships, and they were a training squadron for training. But I was bored with it. Just sat there. So I asked for a draft. Well, if you realise, just after the war, a lot left the services, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and they were short of men. So I was sent back to Chatham Barracks. And Belfast had just come home from Air 46, 48, Air 45, Air 46, 48 Commission. And she was recrewing to go back out again. So we got posted to the Belfast for a 2 year trip out to the Far East.
So how long were you in HMS Howe for?
Oh, no more than 8 weeks.
Doing what?
Well, first off, I was getting used to the routine, and then you were showing kids how to tie knots, how to look after the uniform, what to do in the gun drill. Only what we'd been taught. But as I said, it was boring because you knew you wasn't going to go anywhere from there.
So you didn't actually sail in the Howe?
Not in the Howe, no. As I said, I never sailed in the Howe. I then joined the Belfast and we went, of course, on our jaunts.
Where did you join Belfast?
Chatham Barracks. Chatham Dockyard.
What impression did Belfast make on you at first?
Well, when you first go on, awestruck. That was your first real ship, if you want to call it that, wasn't it? And she was a lovely sight. She was a lovely ship.
What were you shown first of all when you went into the ship?
Wasn't shown anything really. We were just allocated to the different parts of the ship where you was going to live. And you were allocated a job, what you would do during the day, 8 to 4, or whatever. And I got allocated blacksmith's mate.
Did you know anything about blacksmithing?
No, nothing at all. You're only like the hand rag, if you want to call, for the blacksmith. There were 2 blacksmiths in the blacksmith shop and 2 plumbers. And it was quite an interesting job, that.
Why was it so interesting?
Well, other than doing the normal humdrum jobs what sailors do every day, washing the decks, washing paintwork, chipping, painting, I did none of that. I was with a blacksmith. He was a Scotsman who was trained at the Glasgow shipyards. And we would go around welding things, putting things up, welding. It was my job was to take the welding gear all over the ship. You know, drag the, you know, to wherever I was going to work. And if we did a shoot with the 6-inch guns, the rails around the main part of the bulkheads, all this used to break off from the gun reverberation. And our job was then, me and Blackie, out gear and go and weld all the studs back onto the rails again.
How exactly did you do that?
Well, say that had come away from that wall. We clamped it on with a clamp, and then Blackie would weld with the oxyacetylene and weld them back on.
Do you remember this chap's name?
I do. Brilliant. His name was Stuart. Lovely blacksmith. And the other blacksmith was called George Hamilton. There was 2 blacksmiths.
Was he Scotch as well?
No, George Hamilton came from North Shields. I can tell you a very interesting story if you want. About the blacksmith. There's a plumber called Cobishley. He's on your database. And we were in Osaka in Japan. And Blackie said, we have a job, George. We was going to put this safe in the Admiral's. We were flagged. We had Rear Admiral Madden aboard. And we were going to put this safe in his day room, fix it onto the wall, weld the brackets so they had it. And of course, in on a ship, you know, there's a mass of wires and that running everywhere. Well, the blacksmith would be, say, in the next room, and he was drilling through to come this. My job was to see where the drill bit came through so it didn't catch any wires or. Well, Cobishley, the plumber, he was in a bit of a frivolous mood. And he would keep messing about. And I keep telling him to bugger up. This went on, half an hour. All in good fun and good banter. But I was getting a bit fed up with him. So the drill's nearly coming through one of them. And I heard this, it was a sort of ahem in the doorway. And without looking, I just half turned my head and I said, "Will you piss off?" You don't mind me saying that, do you? I have to tell you what happened. That was the biggest mistake I made. Stood in the doorway was a flag lieutenant with all his braids and Rear Admiral Madden. Think of my feelings at the time. I'd just tell these two to off.
How did they take it?
With that, I'm stood there like a beetroot. Such attention. First off, I had to bang on the, you know, to tell Blackie to stop drilling. The flag officer said, I think you'll be seeing the Admiral in about a few minutes. And with that, the Admiral patted him on the shoulder and moved him on into the, and he went into the next room. And Admiral Madden came in to his own day room and proceeded to read the riot act, but in a very nice manner to me, what could and what should happen. Do you get what I mean? And I explained that it was only meant as a jetty, but as to what was happening, we were putting this safe in your day room, but. And I'd got a bit fed up of him messing about with that. He said to me, if my wife Lady Madden had been with me, your feet wouldn't have touched. But as it was, she wasn't with him. He'd come aboard just with the flag lieutenant. He dressed me down, as I said, but he said, "You'll hear no more of this," which I had everything crossed. That was a bad little story.
So that was the end of it?
That was the end of it.
And you said that you had to drag the welding gear about?
Yes, wires. They were quite a length, they were on reels outside the blacksmith shop and had reached right to the forecastle deck or to the after end of the quarter deck. You could go nearly any part in the ship with them. And then when you finished the job, you had to take them back and reel them all up again.
Did Mr. Stewart teach you any of the blacksmith's work?
He learnt me a lot, unofficially. He did. He was a very clever fella. Plus, with working blacksmith, we got out of all the routines, you know. On a Sunday, division, when everybody has to get dressed up and stand there to attention, you know, and get inspected. And he did none of that. Blackie always managed to have us a job on a Sunday. So we got out of it.
So you didn't do any of the normal sailor's jobs?
No, none whatsoever. All my job was with Blackie. I had my action station where we used to go and do the, you know, drill or whatever. Remember, I was S2, twin 4-inch on the starboard side.
S2?
There's S1, twin 4-inch, on the starboard side. And then there's S meaning starboard. Then there's S2, further astern of her. There was S3, but they took them off. They took two guns off when she was built. And on the see, and then on the port side, it would be P1 and P2. Mean port and starboard.
What did you have to do in S2? Had there been action?
Push shells up. Off, take them off. First off, your ready use lockers where you also have ammunition locked up. But then after that, after you've used your ready use, they come up from the magazine below and come along this hoist. this roller, this hoist, and then come to the gun, and you take them off there and put them up the barrel into the breech.
Were they heavy to handle?
I'm not sure how much a 4-inch shell weighed, but not too heavy. The most important part you had to remember when you were pushing them in was to close your fist so you didn't have no fingers. The breech was to come down fast. You had to close your finger to push them actually into the breech.
Did anybody ever have an accident?
Not that I know.
How quickly did it come down?
What?
The part of the gun that was dangerous to your fingers.
The breech. Every time the gun fires, you then get the recoil. And then the next shell, the breech is open. It's automatically, the gun layer opens the breech again, and you push another shell in.
How many shells would you have in the ready-use lockers?
Maybe 2 dozen. By that, they're coming up out of the hoists.
What do the hoists look like?
It came, describing it, it comes from near the back of the bridge. The hoists come up from the bay, from where the magazines in the guts of the ship, amidships, and then they come along the way, the upper waist, on like a chain, with each chain had like a little arm on, so that the shell that came up and laid, then it laid it down and pushed it along, and the hoist brought it along. It was done by motors, electric motors.
Were you ever actually in action?
Well, when we were due home nicely, went just before the Korean we're finished, but they kept us out there another 6 months. She saw quite a bit of action on the next voyage after she, but we did a couple of goes. The first place I remember was we was with the aircraft carrier Triumph, and it hadn't been that started long, and we were patrolling off the east coast of Korea with the Triumph. And there was a coastal road at a place called, if I remember rightly, Yong Dock. The first time we ever on that commission, you know, saw any action. Well, if you want to call it. And this coastal road, there was 2 or 3 tanks, I think, on it. And the Belfast fired. She fired a 4-inch into the mountains, to cause like a landslide. To block the road up. Then the Triumph sent planes out, and they fired napalm at them, which is now banned, a banned substance. And of course we did the 6-inch, the main armament was 6-inch. They were firing at different targets inland with planes spotting for them to see where the fall of shot was. But we didn't see a lot, but while we was nearly due home, we didn't see a lot of action. We did a lot of patrols around Korea, but not so much action.
What did you feel like when you had that bit of taste of action?
Probably excited.
Did the enemy ever attack you?
No. But, if I remember rightly, we were too close to the shore one night, and a 40mm, which is like a pom-pom or a Bofa shell, hit the mainmast, the aft mainmast, and didn't do a lot of damage. And I think it injured a couple of chaps We were too close in shore, we shouldn't have been that close in. That's about all our, about the only thing that ever happened.
Did you see the casualties?
No. No.
Any other memories of serving off Korea?
You see, we wasn't, as I said to you, we were due home, and we got the extended hour